Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's show is on karma. Karma and forgiveness is what it's called. We are going to take a look at what is inside of our astrological charts that allows us to retain anger and hate and also pain, misery, viciousness, vindictiveness, jealousy, or anything we're holding on to that is holding us down and making us feel small, insecure, low self-esteem, non-productive, negative, weak, stressful, whatever. It's all about forgiveness. And I, Farley Malaris, completely forgive you, the people of Southern California. See, whether you've done anything or not, I've said it, so I feel better. All right, everybody, I hope you had a great weekend. I want to congratulate my pal, Libra, Pat Valenzuela, who won the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, on Silent Sunday, a California bred horse, and also won on my dad's horse the next race after here in Southern California yesterday, Sunday. So that was really exciting to have Pat ride for us after he won the Kentucky Derby. All right, the Astrology Hour on KFOX, the No Forecast Edition, and welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you've been having a wonderful life like I have. Now, I'm glad my philosophy of being blissful and happy is working. It's working well. I'm very excited about that. And as long as you retain some basic emotions, then you can handle these transits, no problem. So, I was taking a look at all 12 signs of the zodiac this morning, and I was trying to think of some negative elements that would be connected to each of the 12 signs of the zodiac. So in review of this topic, you would be able to make some sense out of your chart as far as discovering negative elements that might create karma. Okay, and usually when you have a karma with yourself, that means that you're having a battle with yourself because you're upset, you're bothered, you're worried, you're angry, you're hateful, or you can't let go of a particular emotion that is not healthy for you. Okay? So karmically speaking, if you want to absolve all karma, it's basically love and forgive yourself for everything you've done that might have been hurtful or negative, and also love and forgive others as a projection of yourself, as a reflection of yourself for anything that they might have done to hurt or possibly stress you out. See, a lot of us go through life, And we don't realize that we are the center of the universe. We are totally responsible metaphysically for creating our worlds. A lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that this pregnancy has been created because it was our fault, or they don't like to hear that this job was created because it was our fault, or this mugging that happened to us the other day, or this raping, you know. People don't like to hear that. You know why? Because they prefer to make it a karma. They prefer to hold on to it, and to nurture their hate, and to nurture their anger, and to nurture their pain. And this stuff is carried forward to following lifetimes, and that is exactly the kind of stuff that brings you back to Earth. Unprocessed pain, unprocessed anger, and basically not being able or not being qualified to rise up into a level of grace and mercy where forgiveness is allowed. Because what I've discovered, we had a lot of fun at the Hollywood Park yesterday with my mom and my dad, because I found us all forgiving each other for anything we'd ever done that had been harmful to any of the other people in our family. There was my sister and her boyfriend, my mom, my dad, and myself, and we were just repeatedly telling each other how much we loved each other, how much we forgave each other, and it was such a wonderful meeting of love and light between my family unit that, you know, we were winning, their horses were coming in, we were sharing our winnings with others in the family, and it was such a giving, loving, bonding experience. And the foundation of the experience was based on total forgiveness. And oftentimes, we secretly, if not all the time, walk around with all this hate and this anger and this pain over individuals when really all we need to do is fess up to what it is that's bothering us and let it go. So in today's topic, I'm going to try to give you some keys as far as what I think you can do to try to process some of the hate, pain, and anger you might even subliminally or subconsciously be holding on to. And also we're going to go over some the 12 negative elements associated with each astrology sign, which could create karma in case you don't usually manifest the power behind the sign, but you become the negative instead. Okay, let's start with Aries. Frankly, Aries can be a wonderful sign, no matter what you have in the sign of Aries. And when I talk about the signs today, I'm going to include some of the houses, because each house reflects a particular zodiac sign, okay? So the Aries force is the same as the first house force. So whether you have first house planets like me, Moon in the first house in Scorpio, or Aries planets, then you would qualify for being a baby, insecure, immature, naive, and also very, very sophomoric as far as how you might handle life and run away from situations because they put you back in a position of being a child, pressing a button with your childhood, which obviously can be a very primitive emotion that can hold you down and keep you from progressing with your life. Okay, so there's the negative element of Aries, okay? Now, if you have planets in Taurus or the second house, and I'm talking about any planets, Sun, Moon, Mars, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, any planets at all in a sign or in a house that radiates a particular energy like the Taurus force is an energy that I want you to understand for today's topic that could help you understand some of the possible negative elements you could have in your life. Even if you have a nicely aspected planet in that sign, you could have a beautiful planet in Taurus with trines and sextiles on it, but you could still have negative Taurus elements crop up in your life. Elements that could be very aggressive, physically abusive, stubborn, arrogant, dominating, you know, that sort of thing. You know, we all know the good elements in Taurus, but some of the negative elements in Taurus can be warlike, okay? Because Taurus is also very close to Aries, and I forgot to mention that Aries is the sign of war, so planets in the first house or planets in Aries would also imitate a warlike behavior or somebody that might feel the need to attack or fight or battle or whatever. See, and I think it's important for us to understand the negative elements of the sign so we can understand where the karma comes from. Gemini also is an interesting sign because Gemini is a teacher, you know, and Gemini carries a lot of responsibility because Gemini does talk a lot. They can teach whatever they want, you know, so that means that Gemini energy can be used or manipulated to teach people things that are really wrong or wrong for them, or talk to people or therapeutically treat people really in an unsafe manner because the Gemini force could be misused and abused because of the gift of gab that it might be. Okay, the Cancer force is a very, very powerful force when we talk about karma because it doesn't forget. It has a memory. Part of our natures that can really be a hurt and absorbing as far as not wanting to let go of pain. You know, they say that the most sensitive children are the children with Cancer planets. Like I have Venus in Cancer. And obviously, those of us with Cancer planets, especially Venus, Mars, the Moon, or rising, can have an elephant's memory. You know, the elephant never forgets. And sometimes we don't like to forget, so we carry around with us the burden of the stress of all these memories of negative occurrences, and at the same time we carry around blame, self-blame because we put ourselves in that situation, and blame of others because we like to blame them for what's wrong with our lives, which is not really right. It's not fair. It's not accurate. It doesn't work. Okay? The Leo force is an interesting force because the Leo vibration, by the way, Cancer planets would also have a Cancer vibration if you had planets in the fourth house. And Gemini planets resemble third house planetary vibrations too. So planets in the third house or planets in Gemini would have the Gemini karma. Planets in Cancer or in the fourth house would have the Cancer karma. And planets in the fifth house or in Leo would have the Leo karma. Okay? The Leo karma is a karma of honor and dignity and also pride, and oftentimes we find that Leo vibe people, Leo, Sun, Moon, Rising, whatever, will stretch the truth white lie or even major lie to avoid a taint on their dignity, their pride, or their honor. Okay, so that's a karma or a problem that can occur with the Leo vibration, which is already a very powerful sign because these are the leaders and the rulers and the fathers and the paternal vibration of society. It oftentimes isn't fair or just when the vibration comes across dishonest or unethical. The Virgo vibration, typically it can be negative if it decides, instead of just analyzing, while it's analyzing, to ponder the negative elements or the Murphy's Law potential of any situation. Oftentimes the Virgo force is a troubleshooting force, and basically, oftentimes when we think of Virgo energy, we are thinking of people that are looking for problems to solve, the detectives, okay? So sometimes you can overblow the Virgo force with planets in the sixth house or in Virgo and worry about things that really are not that difficult, are not that intense, and really, truthfully, can be easily resolved. The Libra vibration, or planets in the seventh house, is a very charming vibration and also very manipulative. And oftentimes when we're dealing with people that have the Libra vibration, when we feel we are being charmed or used by them, then we may tend to hold anger or hostility or vindictiveness or jealousy towards them because we don't like the way they used us and tricked us or trapped us. And we also are guilty of using and manipulating people if we have Libra force elements in our chart, our seventh house planets. Scorpio is extremely manipulative, can be intensely jealous and vindictive, even hateful and potentially violent if prone or subject to rage explosions of stress that is totally compounded. Whereas Cancer never forgets, Scorpio also never forgets, but it hides it. It doesn't pay any attention to it, so it bottles it and compounds karma. So oftentimes we do find that people with Scorpio or 8th house planets will bottle and hold anger and will be the hardest and most stubborn sign to forgive and forget when dealing with life and people in general. The Sagittarius energy is also a very wild force. It's adventurous and oftentimes fun-loving. It can be dominating and aggressive and overpowering with its fire energy. And oftentimes we do find Sagittarius factor people are people like myself who have Venus and Uranus in the ninth house, planets in the ninth house, are people that will run or avoid solving their problems or dealing with their problems or facing up to situations in their life. You know, this topic is wonderful because let's say you have Venus in Cancer or Mars in Scorpio and you have a Pisces moon or an Aries sun and Libra rising, then you can put together some of the elements from this topic to understand where you might be angry or charming or manipulative or not forget or bottle rage. You know, you could see elements of your own personality that can hold you down in understanding the analysis of all 12 of the zodiac forces, okay? Capricorn is a martyr sign. If you have planets in the 10th house or in Capricorn, we often find ourselves sticking our necks out real far and often sticking our necks out to a point where we must be tortured or suffer in order to grow. It's funny that Capricorn, of all the signs, oftentimes has to go through a jungle or a mess of failure and total, just a pit of depression before they can finally see the light. You know, talk about the doubting Thomas energy. That's the Capricorn force or 10th house planets. And frankly, because Capricorn energy is so powerful, you know, as far as what it can do, it's like the freight train type energy. If you are in a negative state with Capricorn elements, we're talking about the freight train to hell. You know, where people that really bottom out with negative Capricorn elements are people that end up homeless or starving or on the street or whatever. Okay? Because they give up. They surrender. They can't handle it anymore. The Aquarius force is an also very manipulative force. Aquarius energies are energies in the 11th house, would be energies that can be so tricky, okay, so unpredictable, you know, very extreme in emotions like love and hate, almost resembling Scorpio energy, not as physical, but still the Aquarius force one day may love you and need you, and the next day may put you on the shelf for a while because they're also extremely independent, and because they seem to know more than the rest of us, sometimes they have the edge mentally on really understanding situations or having more clarity. Pisces being the most vulnerable and sensitive sign, having any planets in Pisces or any planets in the 12th house can be very dangerous, because negative elements in this sign, like Sagittarius, not only will run, but they will hide, and often the escapist behavior here can be so depressing and so negative that not only can it end you up in a very negative mental and emotional state, we're talking institutional, but oftentimes we find afflicted Neptunes, afflicted Pisces planets, or our 12th house planets can throw us into the throes of drugs and alcoholism as far as how far we might run. And because Pisces is such an innocent force and such a hungry and sometimes addictive force, we do find ourselves getting latched on or actually attracted to elements in the world that definitely are not good for us. And once again, we must be martyred, similar to the Capricorn energy, or suffered or tortured until we see the light and become a lot more spiritual. Now, what happens now when you live your life and you go through your life and you say to yourself, well, what do I got now? You know, I like to think I'm happy. I like to think I'm proud. I like to think that I'm successful. But the truth of the matter is that most of us have skeletons in the closet. Even though the universe is perfect, oftentimes it's hard for us to be perfect. And we try so hard to strive for perfection, to strive for mental balance and emotional balance and self-health programs and perfect weight, perfect appearance, perfect hair and face and all that. Many of us are into balance, but oftentimes we don't pay attention to basic therapeutic needs. We tend to forget or bottle what happened to us when we were children, what happened to us in the childhood, what happened to us with the family, or what happened in school or in college or with relationships or with friends. A lot of us, because we are human, if not all of us, have been through some pretty torturous experiences. And we like to think we're strong, and we like to think that we can overcome that, but the truth of the matter is that we really do have a lot of skeletons in our closet. And I want you, you know, after this show, if you've recorded this show, or whether you not have or not, I want you to sit down and review your life for a moment and see if there is any one single person out there that you have one iota of pain with. And whether it's your father, your mother, of course, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your best friends, usually it's the people closest to you that you will have the pain with, you know, as far as karma. That's why you're born in that position to be with them, to be so close to them. And, you know, I was with a very nice person on Friday. I had a meeting with somebody, Michelle. And she was talking to me about this topic, forgiveness and pain. And she asked me if I could write down in a sentence 70 times 7 days that I thoroughly, completely forgive my father. You know, and I thought to myself, that's interesting. You know, and I couldn't write it down. It was too hard for me to write that down. And I thought to myself, maybe I do have some anger for my dad. Well, you know, maybe I do need to fess up to this, get it out of the closet, and forgive myself and him for whatever went down. And this is what inspired me at the racetrack yesterday when I was with my mom and dad, my sister, and my sister's boyfriend, to sit there and just openly, repeatedly forgive everyone around me, to check it out and see what would happen. And you wouldn't believe, everybody picked up on it. Everybody started forgiving me, forgiving themselves, forgiving each other. And before we knew it, we were having so much fun that it seemed like a lot of the karmic crap that had been getting in the way over all the years dissipated and disappeared. And I never ever felt so close to my family as I did yesterday, because it seemed like a magical way for us to finally absolve that karma. You know, I don't know where you are in your life, and I don't know how much energy or how much enthusiasm or ability you have to take the willpower and the strength to learn how to forgive those in your life that you feel might have done something to hurt you or misdirect you. I don't know whether you can fess up to certain anger or pain or hate or vindictiveness or whatever, even if it's a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, it's someone that's cheated on you. You know, it doesn't do a bit of good to hang on to energy that is negative. It does not help us. It does not promote our life. It is not productive. It is not progressive. It is not efficient. And it is just karmic. It is negative, and it is an anchor. You know, it, to me, logically speaking, it makes a lot more sense to take someone you're married to, and instead of creating a vendetta and separating and breaking it up and divorcing, it's a lot better to just say, I, Farley Malaris, completely forgive you, Barbara, or whoever, whatever the person's name is, Betty, Judy, John, Fred, my dad, or whoever, and just say it to them over and over again. And if they say, why are you forgiving me? Say, because for some reason I feel like you might have hurt me. In order to overcome this vibration, it is necessary for me to verbally express my forgiveness. And that way, in case they have somehow hurt you, instead of you letting it ride on your chest and on your heart and on your back or on your nerves or on your mind, you can let it go. You know, some of you might have a lot of Virgo planets, and maybe you need to sit down and write this down or type it out 70 times a day times 7 days, that, you know, your name, completely forgive you, the person you're talking about. Or maybe even sit down, and when you spend time with them, even though they might think it's funny, that you might say, you know what, I forgive you, Mom. I really forgive you. And if they say, they turn to you, they might say, you know what, I forgive you too, honey. You know, and it's unbelievable the adhesion and the bonding and the absolution you can experience through this type of issue, through this topic of forgiveness. Even looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I forgive you, Farley, for holding your own life down, or I forgive whatever your own name is, you know, letting go of your own self-hate, your own self-anger, your own mutual hate or anger for anyone you know and love in your entire life, and trying to totally absolve the pain, the hate, and the anger, so you can finally reach a true state of happiness and bliss, where you no longer hold any grudges, where you no longer have any limitations, and when you can finally live your life without being prevented from having the progress that you so deserve, and the growth and the evolution you will so receive, and the benefits you will receive from finally just letting go and forming that communion with yourself and the world without letting any of these negative elements in life hold you down. You know why? Because the universe will take care of itself. If people have been mean to you, or if you've been mean to them, this stuff automatically corrects itself. There's no reason for you to create a karma in your soul's bank, in your soul's pattern, that would prevent you from evolution in your life and in your existence. It doesn't solve anything. Let me give you an example. So you're living with a girl, and so she goes out and has sex with another man. Okay, are you going to be hateful and angry at her for the rest of her life and break up with her over it? Or can you just resolve it by saying to her 5-10 times a day or whatever, as long as it takes, you know what, I forgive you for what you did. You know, if she's meant to be out of your life, she'll be out of your life. But if she's meant to be in your life, it will be that forgiveness that will help resolve and absolve the karma that occurred. Maybe there's a reason why she had an affair. Maybe it was a return of an energy that was due you from a past life. And by forgiving her, you know what you're doing? You're forgiving herself. So, the purpose of this topic, the point of this show, more than anything else, is to teach you how to be happier and how to absolve your karma and let go of the muck, of the pain, of the anchor, and to learn forgiveness. Because forgiveness, like happiness, like bliss, like grace, like mercy, is a very simple, easy concept to understand, but so many of us avoid it, avoid its power, avoid its use, avoid the ability to take this simple issue of forgiveness and bestow it upon ourselves and everyone in the world that we know, that we share love and life with. And that's why I will embrace this term and embrace this concept as long as I live, and I will use it in my everyday life and repeatedly use it with people I know and love if I ever feel 0.001% of anger, pain, hate, remembrance, anxiety, or viciousness, jealousy, whatever. I'm going to use and practice forgiveness in replacement of all these negative elements that can come from my chart, my soul, your soul, or whoever. Okay? Well, this is the Astrology Hour on KFOX 93.5, and I, Farley Malaris, completely and totally forgive all of you for anything you might have done to me in a past life, and I forgive myself, too, for anything I've done. So this is a show that I will listen to over and over again because I like the type of philosophy that it offers. the natal effect is an effect that occurs when the baby comes out of the womb. When it comes out of the womb and takes its first breath, the philosophy, as above, so below, the baby gains a reflection of the universe at that moment. It's like every cell in their body is charged by a God circuit, a cosmic circuit that is reflected by the location of the planets at birth. That is called the astrological natal chart or the astroscope. More than just your sun sign, knowing where your planets are, and along the lines of today's topic, understanding the positive and negative elements of each sign you might embrace in your chart will help you understand yourself. And this show and astrology is dedicated to self-realization, because we figure the more you know yourself, the better you'll be, because you'll be able to take the edge off of your life and explain things as far as why they happen the way they do.